get people here? Well, I read about old Dwight L. Moody. He would ride a bicycle backwards, and he would take an umbrella, and he would take and put the point on the ground and take and put his head on the other part, and he'd just walk around in circles like a madman. And once he got a crowd together, he said, okay, now I'm ready to preach. Amen. So if we don't get them in the ways we're trying right now, let's bring a bunch of umbrellas. I promise, if you got out there for 30 minutes with an umbrella and put it on the sidewalk and go round and round, you'll have the EMS, you'd have the police force, you'd have hype for the town, and I'm sure you'd have your good mayor over here wondering, what in the world? They'll be writing all kind of ordinances for you bunch of crazy folks. And we'd have more than just a crazy Helen, praise God. Oh, look at him. Oh, Miss Crazy. No, I'm going to call her. She gave me this. I'm going to call her Sweet Helen now. I'll take up for you now. Anybody calls you crazy, we're going to be into it. We got, amen. Nothing crazy about you, sister. She was doing something, and the preacher's wife, I'm really starting something now. She said, she was laughing, and in a very affectionate way, she said, that was crazy, Helen. And I thought crazy was the first name, and Helen was the last name. I did read somewhere that a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. A broken spirit drieth the bones. And if I can't smile in life with you folks, pray tell me, who is it? I'm a 73-year-old codger, and I need to stay as healthy as I can. So laugh with me, laugh at me. Just, I better stop right there. I'm getting too serious now for this moment. But I do appreciate and love you folks. I've already said what I feel about you in regards to your being a family. You have the same daddy I have. That makes us kin folks. You remember that? Behold, what manner of love hath he bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. And I interpret that to mean accurately the little God's little children. That's who I feel like I am, and I hope you feel the same, amen.
Yes,
no matter how young or how old we might be, to him we're just little children.
Yes, sir.
He's the Ancient of Days.
Yes,
so, hallelujah. This is so much better than trick-or-treat. It is for me, I promise you. Amen. I want to invite your attention tonight as we continue our theme having to do with the church. To 1 Corinthians chapter 12, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we begin reading in verse number 12. And I remember our Sunday school teacher, Brother Thompson, I remember that's the portion of Scripture that you gave a lot of attention to. Rightly so, if you're studying on the church. You could not slip around this and discard it from the Holy Writ and the canon of truth. And by the way, if you hang around here very long with the preacher that you have, it's not going to be a smorgasbord mentality that frequents this pulpit with a pick and choose attitude. I believe he's going to preach the whole counsel of truth. And I commend you to do so, amen, my dear brother. Thank you for being here. Man, it's so wonderful to see you again. And I mean that sincerely. There are three metaphors before I read this portion of Scripture used to describe the church. There's more than that, but there's three that immediately come to my mind. There's the bride, the building, and also the body. Now, we've talked somewhat last evening on the building, with him being the chief cornerstone. And we also, in describing that chief cornerstone, said that there's three elements that must be in a rightly constructed building. If you do not have these three elements, you do not have a good building to build a building in which to continue your construction. Now, I've seen buildings way out of square, and you ought to try putting, growing up in a carpenter's home, you ought to try putting up crown mold in a building that's not square.
Amen.
When you're doing cabinet work, so I can understand, I know you understand. There's three things that are to comprise, thank you, a building, and that's plumb, square, and level. And we, if we understood what 1 Peter chapter number 2 was teaching us last evening, that's where he, being the chief cornerstone and also the living stone, that's where we get as a church our plumb, square, and level. And I feel that there's so many out in Christendom today, or at least in the religious context or the religious world, that does not have a clue what a church really is.
Amen.
I insist upon this. You cannot have a church if you just put a shingle out on a building somewhere and call it church.
Amen.
You cannot have a church if you have a neon lit sign with all the technical marvels that can be put into that sign with a wonderful, beautiful building and call it a church that way.
Right.
That it, neither will it be a church just by doing those things. And that's so important to us, because Satan doesn't mind you doing some things. He just does not like you doing the right things.
Amen.
For example, here's something to be concerned about, I would think. A lot of people says, well, if I can just give my testimony, somebody will be saved. Not necessarily. You got to make sure that your testimony includes the gospel.
Amen.
For without the gospel, no one will ever, ever be saved.
Amen.
If you do not include the gospel in your testimony or in your singing of songs, if you think that should have a place and a part in reaching someone's heart or soul, but you leave out the death and the burial and the resurrection, these are cardinal truths that must be for a conversion to take place. Thessalonians says, God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. Now, I didn't put a period there. That's where the hyper-Calvinists go wrong. He did not put a period there. He says, God hath from the beginning chosen us to salvation, but it does it through the call of the gospel,
amen,
believing of the truth,
yes,
and the sanctification of the Spirit.
Amen.
A person cannot be saved unless those three elements are actively working in one's conversion.
Amen.
If you take and exclude either one of those, a person cannot be saved, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the precious Word of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
So please understand that. And so, well, I could preach a long time on that, but there's a call of the gospel, believing the truth, sanctification, Spirit. But let me at least tell you a couple proof verses that show this. Every verse that denotes or has to do with salvation must include these three components. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, that's the call of the gospel, and believeth on him that sent me, that's to believe in the truth, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life.
Amen.
That is the sanctification of the Spirit.
Amen.
Well, what about John 3:16? Same formula. For God so loved the world,
yes,
hallelujah,
yes,
that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth, he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's the call of the gospel. Death, burial, and the resurrection given of his Son, that whosoever believeth on him, that's the believing the truth, shall not perish but have everlasting life.
Amen.
That life comes from the Holy Spirit. That's the sanctification of the Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
And so if you look and study, you'll see every time there's salvation, scriptures and verses, it will always include those three components. Here we're looking at the church, the bride, the building, in the body. But tonight I want to just read some scriptures relating to the practical aspect of the way the church conducts itself. I want to look at the body tonight. The Holy Spirit connects us, giving us life. We consider that last evening, you know, when we talked about the chief cornerstone and him being the what kind of stone? He's the living stone. And we are what? Say that word. Lively stone. That's important. He could say he's the living stone, but he more correctly said, absolutely correctly said, I should say, he called himself, Peter did, called him the living stone. He called the stones that connect to him lively stones, meaning we get our liveliness from his life.
Amen.
And if you take and remove yourselves in any capacity from him, you do not have life. In other words, the whole time of your conversion means you are connected to him. And that's for eternity. Amen. And that's the same way. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Without me you can do nothing. Sever or remove that branch from the vine, and that branch no longer has life. That's a way of describing, using that metaphor as to describe when he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. That's a way so that we can comprehend or understand that we absolutely need him for our spiritual existence. I mean, no compromising at all there. And it's not by the will of the flesh, but it's by him, by his Spirit. Amen. So anyway, there are three metaphors that we said. The Holy Spirit connects us, giving life. Now in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, for as the body, and I'm going to just read this because I want to get to the application part of this message tonight, because tomorrow night we're going to start talking about another home. We're going to talk about the earthly home. Tonight and yesterday we talked about, I'm alliterating it, so we talked about the ecclesiastical home. Ecclesia, the church, ecclesia, called out assembly of baptized believers. And then the English word for church is another word. But anyway, we get the meaning of the church from that. So we speak of the ecclesiastical home. This is our church home. Amen. And then your earthly home. That's where you have those. Now, my granddaughter just gave me a great grandchild. that should be within the context of the home. Amen. And then there's not only the ecclesiastical home and the earthly home, but there's an eternal home. The home of the redeemed. Family of the redeemed. That's the long home, as it's been referred to. Amen, brother? And so, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. You see the connectivity there? For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. And I think the Sunday school teacher rightly said, he said, it creates, there are three ethnic groups. There's Jew, there's Gentile, and there's the church. And once, and when you become a part of the church, you're referred to as neither Jew nor Gentile. Amen. It takes on a higher order. Amen. For the body is not one, member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Absolutely not. And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Absolutely not. The eye is a part of the body, but it's just not the ear. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? You so carefully gave us that. You said, you talked about someone that cooks here. A preacher's here, you remember? And you said, right, we can't all be preaching here. We can't all be doing this. Saying that God has fitly put us together as it pleases Him.
Amen.
As it pleases Him. And nay, look at verse 22. Nay, much more, these members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary.
Yes.
And those members of the body, which we think to be less honorable, don't think like that.
Yes.
Upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. I can't think of a thing that I'd like to cut off because it's not important to me in my own body. Do you get that?
Yes.
That's what it's saying. that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. That follows along with Hebrews, where it says, provoke ye one another to good service. That provocation is a good provocation. And then it says, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Now, you ought to understand that in the concept of marriage, those of you who are faithful and holy, are involved and united in holy matrimony. My wife did something to hurt her leg. In 51 years of marriage, I've only seen her sick 4 or 5 times with fever or anything. That's almost hard to believe, isn't it? But right now, she's walking with a little bit of a limp because something just started hurting her. Well, while she's hurting, I'm hurting.
Amen.
I hope you know that. She probably says, well, I wish you could take that pain for me. But it don't work that way. But you know, the attitude that I should have towards her and she towards me ought to be the same overriding attitude that that involves all of us in our church family.
Amen.
In other words, you shouldn't feel good when someone's hurting.
Amen.
You should feel rather... I mean, in other words, in the spirit of meekness, consider thyself, lest thou also be tempted, considering yourself for what purpose? For restoring that person or that weaker brother. You don't snatch and jerk that person around. It's like a medical term being used there, where you take and very carefully set that person's broken arm, if it be spiritually. And, you know, it's so easy to get on some kind of plateau and condescend yourself to someone else. We ought to have the attitude of the Lord Jesus Christ, recognizing that the attitude that He has is, well, if put this way, the ground is level at the cross.
Amen.
Yes, sir. And I'm so glad that there, in this church, I don't sense this. If it is, take care of it immediately. There's no, as my old preacher used to say, there's no big I's and little U's. Come to the place where everybody's somebody.
Yes,
you have that attitude and carry that attitude, eventually you'll find people out there as you go after them, and they realize and experience that when they come into your presence, and they'll know that they found a friend, and then they'll realize more than that, oh, what a friend we have in Jesus.
Amen.
And Jesus is the sweetest name I know.
Amen.
And He asks, how great thou art. Hallelujah. And there is victory in Jesus.
Amen.
Yes, there is. And where the one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Our one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers. After that, miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Nope. Are all prophets? Nope. Are all teachers? Now he's using a rhetorical method that was very common, especially among the Greeks during that time. He said, okay, think about it. In a body, an ecclesiastical body, since we're making a biological comparison to our own body, are all within that body teachers? All in that body, prophets, workers of miracles, have all the gift of healings. Now this is during a transitional time when he's speaking.
Yes.
A lot of these things, according to Corinthians, he further tells us about, these things will come to pass.
Yes.
And so during this time, you're not seeing some of these things as we would see them in our church today, because they're passé or past.
Amen.
But covetly, earnest the best gift, and yet show out you a more excellent way. He said, well, just hold your horses. It's going to get better. Amen. Now, I said this already, but everything that is called Christian ministry should absolutely have its tie back into the local church, not para-church, but church. And sadly, even many of our established churches and membership do not have a clear understanding of the way the church is to function that we've already said. Now, why Jesus birthed the church, built the church, and blessed the church? Now, when I say birth, that causes you to think about a little bit of grammar, doesn't it, that we discussed. Who is it that say, was Peter able to birth a church? Christ Himself is the only one. We don't have popes beginning with Peter.
Yes,
amen. Amen.
Right.
And so I want to ask this question, and then I'm going to try to answer it for the next few moments. Why do we need the church? Or why do we have the church? Father, I pray that You'll just help us as we continue.
Yes.
Father, I pray that You'll help let the Word of God be so clear to us.
Amen.
And Father, we'll be helped and encouraged as we continue. And Father, thank You for these dear folks. And we always pray, Lord, if there's someone here who needs Jesus, I pray that today will be a day of salvation. We'll give You the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I know we've been here a while, but I did want to go ahead and pray. And then I will just look at some things for a few moments. The church, number one, was built with our weakness in mind. Did you hear that?
Amen.
The world likes to think in a more macho way.
Yes.
I mean, you hear a lot of that. But the church was built with not our strength in mind, but quite the contrary to that, with our weakness in mind. Let me tell you how weak we are. I could also put in parentheses, the church was built for our wickedness in mind.
Yes, sir.
Do you understand that as a saved person, you have the capability of doing things that lost people do?
Yeah.
Amen. I wish that wasn't so. I wish it wasn't so for you, but I also wish it wasn't so for me.
Yeah.
I mean, there's things that I have to keep myself under. Like Paul says, he has to beat his body into subjection, which literally means something like this. I have to give myself a black eye if need to be, to keep my body under subjection.
Amen.
Now, there's a scripture passage that tells us that truth. Peter also speaks that in the first chapter, I believe it is, of 2 Peter. And I'll just try to quote some of these verses. You're familiar with them. And it shows the diligence that's involved in overcoming our weakness. Besides this, remember that passage as it begins in Peter? Besides this, giving all diligence, that means you've got to give strong effort. You don't just wake up every day and say, well, I'm going to be a good boy today. Or a good girl without any effort.
Yeah.
Did you hear that?
Amen.
God's not going to drill a hole in your cranium or skull and pour goodness into it.
Yeah.
It doesn't get to you that way.
Yeah, that's right.
David knew that much before they had the canon of truth. He said, Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee.
Amen.
That was his protector, his protection. The Word of God he hid in his heart.
Amen.
That I might not sin against Thee. So besides this, given all diligence, add to your faith. Now where do you get that faith? It comes from Him and Him alone.
Amen.
For by grace are you saved through faith.
Yes.
That not of yourselves. It's a gift of God.
Amen.
Not of works. Lest any man should boast. Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to His mercy He saves us.
Amen.
Our salvation is all in Him.
Amen.
And I thank God that it is, because I would do a bang up job if my salvation depended upon my self effort.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes,
and so here, faith is something that's entrusted to you for all eternity. You're a partaker of His divine grace upon your conversion. Partaker. You actually begin, as we preached last night, taste. You remember the word we used? Taste how good salvation is. Yum, yum. It sure tastes good. And so besides this, giving all diligence, you can't do anything that involves diligence, that involves your faith. That's something He's got to give to you without works.
Yes.
But faith without works is dead.
Amen. Right.
So besides this, giving all diligence, you, subject understood, add to your faith that comes from Him, you add to your faith virtue.
Yes. Amen.
Virtuous or moral excellence.
Amen.
Where you wake up every day and say, I am indeed going to be a good boy or a good girl, a good man. I'm going to be determined to do so. I'm going to give diligence.
Amen.
No matter how hard it is, I'm going to make a strenuous, strong effort.
Yes, sir.
So besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And then add to virtue knowledge.
Amen.
Knowing what? It's within the realm of epic gnosis. Gnosis, knowledge. Epic means to lean towards.
Amen.
Who you want to know better.
Amen.
If I use that in regards to my wife, if I wanted to know her better, there are many Rhondas in the world, I'm sure, or some I know because I've met more than just her. But she's the only one that gains my affection.
Yes.
She's the only one that I lean towards and to know her better. Epignosis. Learn not the ways of the heathen.
Yes.
If you lean away from God, if you lean away from the church, if you do not involve yourself in the things of the church, understanding we need the discipline of the church in order to have the delights that come from the church.
Amen.
So we must have that. So epignosis, knowledge. How do you get that? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly, not wrongly, dividing the word of truth.
Yes.
In other words, you study the word of God. You give attention to the word of God. And I've been already saying this. If you divorce or remove yourself somewhat from the word of God, you will suffer.
Amen. Right.
You should desire. If you desire Him, desire Him as babies, as we already spoken of, the only way you can get more of Him by His Spirit is by the Word of God.
Amen.
And if you take and remove yourself in any manner from the Word of God, that's like you saying, well, I don't need to know any more about Him. I don't want to know any more about Him. I don't care whether I know about Him. By your actions, you will not know any more about Him.
Yes.
Then you could take a position, well, I think I already know enough about Him.
Yeah.
I want to say to all of us, He's still working on me.
Amen.
I want to get up every day and find out a little bit more about Him.
Amen.
Find out why I'm so rotten and so good for nothing apart from Him.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. I say we need the church because of our weakness and wickedness.
Amen.
I know many good preacher that I took to y'all's meeting. I don't know if you even remember or not, but it breaks my heart. I met him in Germany. He learns about our ministry. I preached in his pastor's church at the time. He was in the military. He got out of the military, and then he moved all the way from Germany to Georgia. And his name was Brother Bobby. That's all I'll say. And when he came to Statesboro, Georgia, he worked in our school. He went to our Christian college, Bible Institute. He involved his children in our school. He also worked in ministry. And now, he's completely fallen by the wayside. It began when he got a job, and I'm not blaming the job on it, but it began when he got a job as a police officer. And instead of setting up his schedule where he could be in church, he felt like he was doing such a worthy thing that it would not involve his personal faithfulness to the church. And over a period of time, he and both his wife also, who were very faithfully involved, they were there every time the doors open. Now, I understand they're not even in church at all.
Amen.
You say, are they saved? I think they could be saved. You say, well, what's wrong with them? Well, number one, they're going to have a whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth.
Yes, amen.
Or either there's a sin unto death.
Yes, yes.
That's a terrible thing.
Yes, amen.
I think it's something they ought to be very concerned about. I don't think they get a, pass.
No, sir.
Because the Lord says we need the church.
Amen.
In order to study and gain truth.
Amen.
When he was really studying, it seemed like he was just bubbling over with truth. But if you take a fire that's been built with many logs, it's on the same fire, and you can take this. I learned this as a little Cub Scout, if not a Boy Scout, if not a Cub Scout. I would take one of those logs off the fire. You'd see the illustration where you take one off, and they're not burning together. Many times that one singular log would just burn out.
Yes, right.
And I've seen the same thing happen in churches with people.
Yeah.
Because the system and the way the church is composed, it's almost like a composite, if you use the modern terminology. That would be a metaphor, like body or building. Amen?
Yeah.
And so, besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, virtue knowledge, knowledge temperance. What's temperance? That's the ability, with diligence, to say no,
yes, sir,
to all temptations.
Amen.
Don't think for a moment just because you get saved, you're not going to have temptations.
That's right.
I hate to say this, but there, quite often I run into different kinds of temptations. If I don't give diligence, I could so very easily take heed also lest you fall.
Amen.
And consider myself lest you also fall.
Yes, sir.
Amen. So when you see a weaker brother, in the spirit of meekness, go to that brother and take and gently lift that brother up and say, we can make it.
Amen.
Get him to the place where he can now, or she can get to the place where they can say, well, now I feel like I can give diligence.
Yes, amen.
But right then, they weren't given any diligence at all, and that's where we provoke, Hebrews says, one another to good service.
Amen.
So we as a church need to have that punctuality.
Yes.
In our functioning, we ought not just look down our long snooty noses.
Yeah.
Wife won't let me say the other word. We should not. Instead, we ought to say, hey, I know you're going through something, sister.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we're here for you.
Amen.
We don't like seeing you hurting like this.
Yeah.
Now, don't get to the place where you need to be pampered all the time either. and need super attention.
Yeah.
In other words, once you get strength, you be a provoker.
Amen.
To good service.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Some people, they like to have those kind of moments where they get someone's always gravitating to them. I'm not teaching that.
Amen.
I'm saying you ought to have diligence, and if you stumble, the greatest sin is not falling, it's staying down there.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
So besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and the virtue knowledge, knowledge temperance, patience, brotherly kindness. Patience is continuous well-doing, by the way. Keep on keeping on.
Amen.
And to that, brotherly kindness, be kind and tender-hearted one to another. That's what the Scripture says.
Yes.
All of us could use a better, greater dose of that.
Yes.
Some people don't even know how to be kind in their own marriages or their own families.
Amen.
I mean, they're always in turmoil.
Amen.
There's children and parents in total conflict because they don't know how to show kindness one to another.
Amen.
And then the kids start saying, well, I can't wait till I can get on my own. And then they find themselves in a world, creating another world of their own, the same thing they left, because they never saw any godly example in which to pattern their lives by, and they're out there doing the same thing that they came from.
Amen.
That's sad.
Yes, sir.
So brotherly kindness, charity.
Amen.
That's the highest form of love that a person can have. That's sacrificial love. Then it says, if you've given diligence, adding all these things to your faith, add to your faith and to that charity. Besides this, let me go one more time. Besides this, give it all diligence, add to your faith virtue, virtue knowledge, knowledge temperance, temperance patience, patience brotherly kindness, charity. And if these things be in you, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord.
Amen.
But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off.
Yeah.
And hath forgotten that he has been purged from his old sins.
Amen.
And you'll see people in that state come into a church and have a meeting like this, hadn't been in church a while, they're sitting there, I wonder if I'm even saved.
Yeah.
You know why? Because they've forgotten they've been purged from their old sins.
Yes,
well, what's the solution of that? The Scripture goes on to say it. Wherefore, rather, brethren, make your call and election sure.
Amen.
He didn't say God was going to make it sure. He was going to give you the ability to make it sure.
Yes.
By adding to your faith those things.
Yes.
So wherefore, rather, brethren, make your call and election sure. For if you do these things,
yes,
you shall never fall.
Amen.
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 See how the church works?
Amen.
Now I need to preach another 2-3 weeks on all this stuff, and I see where we're at. Let's just—we're not going. I don't think we'll really get to pick it up tomorrow night because I'm going to probably change gears. Because tomorrow night we're going to look at. I think you've got a lot of stuff to help strengthen you as a church. Can I just read off a few things pertaining? Okay, now you heard the preacher. now the preacher's wife. Do what, brother?
You just turn off the light and lock the door.
Okay, I know what you're telling me. You saw your wife respond to that when you said that. I know how that works, boy. Do I know? Okay, listen to this. We need the church because it was built with our weakness. Wickedness in mind. This is the reason he gave the scriptures to the church.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Psalm 119:28. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word.
Amen.
2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, as we already quoted, rightly dividing the word of truth. And this is the reason he gave us scriptures to the church. Why? We need the Word of God.
Amen.
For our strength.
Amen.
This is the reason he gives us structure in the church.
Amen.
Structure. We talked a little bit about systematic theology that the religious world hates. Because theology, theos, God, ology comes from the word logos. We get the word, or study of. Theology, theos, God. Theology is study of God.
Amen.
And people would rather be religious and study God.
Yeah. Amen. That's
good. Our learning's really, they don't mind saying, this is our religious department.
Yeah.
They don't want to say this is our theology department.
Yeah.
And they even further abhor the idea of calling it a class called systematic theology, meaning that you try to learn everything about God that you can.
Yeah.
Because the more you know about God, the more it brings to light our own personal condemnation.
Yes.
Yes. Amen. So we need structure in the church, which includes a place to learn and a place to teach. And that all comes about because of the finished work of Calvary, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the wholeness by the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
By a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And then having a high priest over the house of God. Oh, I could preach a long time on that. Verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and bodies washed in pure water. So near, so very near to God, we cannot nearer be. For in the person of His Son, we are as near as He. So dear, so very dear to God, we cannot dearer be. For in the person of His Son, we are as dear as He. Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promise. To Hebrews 10:24, let us consider one another to provoke one another to love and to good works. And Hebrews 10:25, not forsaken the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching.
Amen.
And then for the structure that we spoke of includes a place to learn and a place to teach. The place that you're meeting here. You know, this place has been consecrated. It used to be a store for some other purposes, or a building for some other purposes. Now this building is just as legit as any church in town, maybe more so than some. Because it's been consecrated or set apart. For example, you passed the offering plates. Well, guess what? You're not going to put Kentucky Fried Chicken in those offering plates. Or even chicken and dumplings. Sweet Helen. But anyway, sweet crazy Helen. But it's been consecrated. This building has been consecrated. You know what the old timers would call it? Sanctuary. A root from sanctify. The world today is trying to make the building so much like the world itself.
Yes, sir.
And has no value or consecration intended when it has the building. And they'll even teach you. The religious leaders will teach you. There's no difference. Now, let me tell you something. If some bubba comes in here and tries to take your electronic piano, I hope there'll be enough pistol packing mamas here and a few fellas that will keep that from happening.
Amen.
Ain't no bubba gonna get our piano. Amen. Why? It's been consecrated. It's not a juke joint or not a dive or a disco piece of instrument. It's dedicated and glory and consecrated to the Lord. Just like I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be ye not conformed to this world, folded like this world, but transformed, folded different from this world, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You're consecrated. If you won't let them take your piano to the disco and the dives and the juke joints, as my daddy would say, then you shouldn't go to the disco and the dives and the juke joints. You're consecrated.
Amen.
You have no place going to those things. Because you're, and this building's consecrated.
Yes, sir.
By virtue, it's been set apart as the ecclesia, the assembly building. For it could be a brush harbor and serve the same purpose, but you're doing better than that.
Amen.
Thank God.
Amen.
And it's consecrated. And then when you leave this place, you're not leaving a sacred cow behind you. You'll take that same consecration somewhere else. And you ought to have the same fidelity and faith in that location as you did at this place. And reflect back with wonderful memories. You know, God sure let us start good. But that building was a dedicated place, but God's given us something else.
Amen?
Which includes a pastor to lead and a preacher to preach. We can't leave out that in the church. Acts 20:28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost have made you overseers, which he have purchased with his own blood. Amen. And so you have a pastor here. And dear pastor, you have some wonderful people here. I've already just fallen in love with these folks.
Yeah.
A few of them anyway. I'm not sure about my sister here yet, but I sure do like her. Amen. Well, we're having a good time. You're not getting this back. Try. But God's giving you a pastor. Remember them which have the rule over you. That's not a harsh legalistic term. That's a caring term. Who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Pastor, if you had right now as a symbol of your leadership, it would be like you would raise a large umbrella. And that umbrella would picture your pastoral authority. And then you would very kindly say to your folks, "Why don't you follow, go with me while I'll go after him?"
Amen.
And what you do, you walk together. You say, "Well, I just don't like the way he leads." See, God doesn't wake up anybody and everybody to pastor this church.
Amen.
And it's almost like it's a lost art for someone just to pastor a church.
Amen.
I'll promise you, Pastor, people will follow strength to hell before they'll follow weakness to heaven.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
What they want to see in their pastors and preachers, they don't want to see harshness. You still speak the truth in love.
Yeah.
Let every word, in other words, let every word be as what? Apples of gold and pitchers of silver?
Yeah.
A good man out of good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. An evil man out of the evil portion of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. Out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh.
Yes, sir.
Let every word be seasoned with salt, but full of grace, so you'll know how to answer every man.
Yeah.
The word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver.
Amen. Yeah.
And that includes also, let thy speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you might know how to answer every man. That's included even in preaching.
Amen.
I don't go along with the idea that you need to call some disobedient woman in your midst some wicked heifer.
Yeah.
Y'all hear what I'm saying?
Amen.
Let your speech be always of grace, seasoned with salt. Yet there's people that's getting in the pulpits across our land, especially a few years ago, and they'll single people out and embarrass them and say some of the most harsh and wicked things that they could say.
Yes, amen.
How are you giving them a spirit of godliness if you live like the devil in your speech?
Amen.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
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 Amen. And so, under the umbrella of your authority, it will behoove you to walk with your pastor, because the Lord God doesn't wake up everybody to pastor this church.
Yes.
Amen. That's right.
God's given you one pastor.
Amen.
Take heed to the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseer, which He has purchased with His own blood. And when you take heed to the flock, you've got to take heed first to yourself.
Yes.
The old Puritan writer said, "How dare you say someone, as a preacher, you say to someone, 'You must be born again,' and you haven't been born again."
Yes. Amen.
How dare you say, 'Thou shalt not steal,' if you're a thief.
Yes.
Or like the Negro preacher who said, "Don't do like I do like I says." That is not the way you pastor a church.
Amen.
Paul does not give that sterling example, or that kind of example. He gives a sterling example for us to follow. Amen?
Amen.
And so the word rule means to lead, to be a leader, and to have authority over. And let every soul be subject to higher powers, for the powers that be are ordained of God. But he that resisteth the power shall receive to himself damnation. And that word damnation there means harsh judgment. In other words, God has ordained this man be the spiritual leader and the pastor of this church. So you obey them that have the rule over you. And you remember them that have the rule over you. And you obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. Why? For they watch over your souls. Why? As they must, that they must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For this is unprofitable to you.
Yes.
And so the pastor has to answer God for all that goes on around here.
Right. Yes.
Did you hear that?
Yes, sir.
Wouldn't it be awful for us to have the mentality that we'll just we'll do as we please and also exclude any semblance of pastoral leadership from this? You know what it would be? It would almost be worse than anarchy.
Yeah.
Everybody would be doing that which is right in their own eyes.
Amen.
You say, "Well, what if my pastor is not leading us in truth?" if you find an argument against His truthfulness in any matter, or think you do, let it be established by two or three witnesses.
Amen.
Don't listen to some idle gossip where somebody is trying to tear someone down and has no evidence or proof to support doing so.
Amen.
That's been the ruin of many of our churches today.
Yes, sir.
Some of you may wish I'd just stopped a little bit earlier. I didn't get. He's not privy to what I'm preaching, but you made a good decision. And then it says, "Salute all them that have the rule over you, and all the saints of they of Italy salute you." That word "salute" means give proper respect. My wife and I, we had something wonderful happen coming on the way to church when we were walking out of the motel with our Bible in our hand. You remember that, Rhonda? I never had anything like this happen. We walked out, a young man had a just loaded full with his, he was pushing inside the motel. He stopped and came to attention and took his cap off and put it right here. He said, what was the words he used? You remember?
He said, I like what you're cheering in.
He said, I appreciate and like what you're saying. Not only, you know what he did? He took his cap off in reverence and respect to the Word of God.
Amen.
And I said back to him, I said, sir, I like what you're doing.
Yes.
And I did.
Amen.
He had that respect.
Amen.
Today it seems like there's so little respect, people don't even know how to say yes, sir, and no, sir anymore.
That's right.
Yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. And Mr. and Mrs. when appropriate. And please and thank you.
Yes,
things that would be, it was ingrained in us when we were just little. And I still have to say that to people. I was referring to someone just in our conversation that we know. And it was Sister Todd, Linda Gail Todd. We were in the same church. We grew up together. But she and her husband Richard, Brother Richard Todd, worked for over 50 years, a high century, in South America, and as they did as missionaries. And I was wanting to see Mrs. Todd, who lives near Miami. And although we know her as Linda Gale, she's that close to it, but I started to call her by her first name. But it was just like something that I was taught. This is on the way to church, I think, or on the way back to the motel a while ago. It was something I was taught earlier, and it goes like this. I was telling my wife about Linda Gale, and then I stopped myself. I said, Sister Linda Gale, or Sister Todd. And I told my wife, I said, I know I could call her that, and I wouldn't be doing any harm, but I just feel like I ought to show that kind of respect to her. Oh, and I did that, I guess, before we got to the hotel. And then that fellow walks in, and he shows respect towards us in the Bible. Whatsoever you sow, that shall you also reap.
Amen.
You sow kindness, you'll get kindness back.
Amen.
You sow hatred, you'll get hatred back.
Amen.
Okay, I'm gonna just tell you the main title for the rest of it. Our structure in mind was built, and the church was built with our worship in mind. And we worship God as we grow, and we worship God as we give.
Yeah.
Boy, I ought to park there. You know, one of the main purposes, let me just say this about giving, and we're almost through. Whether the pastor wants to go to midnight, not or not, we're almost through. I'm an old man, I got to stop sometime. Besides that, I might want to eat some of your stuff there before it gets too late. Number one, God owns everything.
Amen.
By act of creation.
Yes.
He's the owner. He's the creator God.
Amen.
And number two, God's endowed or entrusted you with something for a lifetime.
Amen.
To have and to hold.
Yes, sir.
Every good and perfect gift comes from above.
Yes,
if God gives you prosperity, trust Him as being the giver. And you're being responsible for the gift.
Amen.
If He gives you a talent, use that talent to the glory of God.
Amen.
And give it back to Him and to others.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
God owns everything by act of creation. He's endowed you with something for a lifetime. You have something, brother. Find out exactly what it is and give it all to God.
Amen.
I mean, give it everything you got.
Yes, sir.
Some of you may end up surrendering to the gospel call or to the mission field. You say, well, it'll help, it'll deplete our church. No, give and it shall be given.
Amen.
God will give you more back.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
So if God touches your heart to go to Moose Shore, Alaska, grab your fur coat and take off. Amen. Rhonda wouldn't go. My wife, she hates cold. She said it was cold in here when everybody else said, I'm burning up. I lived with that woman for 51 years. I'm sweating right now. And she said, feel my hands. And I tell her, a warm heart, cold hands are a sign of a warm heart, but dirty feet is a sign of a what? Let's see, cold hands, warm heart, dirty feet. No, sweetheart, that's what it gave me. I took a girl home one time because she had dirty feet. She worked all day long and the feet stank. And I know I shouldn't have been so harsh, but I just could not stand the idea of riding around the car with stinky feet. And she married one of the richest men in town, so she wasn't all that bad. She just had stinky feet. I'm so glad I married a neat freak who doesn't have stinky feet. She's not a neat freak. She's my sweetheart. 51 years worth. And God owns everything. He's endowed you with something because He has. That makes you a steward.
Amen.
And because you're a steward, you're accountable at judgment seat for how you exercise your stewardship.
Right.
Amen.
Now, you'll get where you need to be if you have the right heart attitude about it. But I want to say something. You're a new church, fairly. I observed and found out he had to make arrangements for Dr. Wallace and my wife and his wife and perhaps you and maybe your wife. I'm not sure how you'll get your plans to get together tomorrow. Because he has a job. I think that's commendable that he's a worker.
Amen.
But I think it's also commendable when a church says, hey, we can take care of our man of God.
Amen.
Where he won't have to work those hours. Not because he's not lazy, but you got something around here and needs the full force of his energy and attention.
Amen.
And that's part of your stewardship. Your part of stewardship involves how you care for the man that God gives you. Now, I'm not speaking harsh. You're going through some baby steps right now. There's some things you got to navigate through. Are we right?
Amen.
You got to kind of walk and just see how the Lord leads and provides. But you know, the principle is give and it shall be given. When you give that benefit and love to your number one missionary, he's definitely on a mission.
Amen.
Wouldn't you agree?
Amen.
And your missionaries that you support, keep doing it. A church doesn't support missions, Dr. Silent used to tell them, a die on the stalk.
Yes.
He said, if you want to get out of trouble, take on missionaries. You want to stay out of trouble, take on missionaries.
Amen.
And so there's something to that. But guess what? He's your number one missionary.
Amen. That's right.
And it may behoove you, I'm using that word several times, it may be to your advantage, to take and come up with some plan or way that you can systematically agree together to support, raise your support as a designated amount to take care of your pastor, helping him get to the place. I don't have a clue how you're taking care of. I haven't talked to you about this. I'm just kind of thinking it through. Okay, church? That is the honest truth. Got to hold up at the judgment seat, by the way. He hasn't got it with me and said, okay, here's what I make, here's what I don't know if he makes a dime or if he has $100,000 a month. I doubt it. But either way, in the realm of good stewardship, you worship God with your tithes and offerings, and one of the benefits of taking that money in is to turn the lights on and take care of the preacher.
Amen.
In addition to all the ministries.
Yes.
And there's something that likes to kind of creep in. You know, that's the reason to say he's worthy of double honor. If you paid him twice as much as anybody else made, you would be scriptural. And guess what he would do if you got the right kind of man? He would take that additional money and he would in turn give it back to the Lord.
Amen.
He would have that stewardship blessing. our church that I pastored, we started out with 30-something missionaries. We love missions. And 27 years later, when I resigned, we were supporting 184 missionaries. And over way back 25 years ago, we were bringing in 2,000 a week from missions. And so the church was missionary-minded. But they always took care of me. We built a brand new church. And during that time, they had been meeting every single year for the purpose of examining my salary and what they gave me. I never told them to. That was already a pattern that they followed from their at some point in their beginning. And when they would do that, the deacons would talk about it. I would excuse myself. They didn't ask me to, but I didn't want to hear them talking about it. I didn't want to put any pressure on them. And I didn't put any requirements when I took the church, by the way. But every time they would increase my support level. They would increase it over and over again. They took care. I had all the perks you can think of. When I resigned from the pastorate, I went from having everything to having nothing. And I'm not complaining, because when I resigned my church to begin this ministry, I knew all that. I was expecting to downsize, sell one of my vehicles, do everything if it took it, take a part-time job, whatever I needed to do. After 36 years of pastoring, when I entered 14 years ago into this ministry, God has not let me miss one thing.
Amen.
He has absolutely taken care of me.
Amen.
And so when the church, we were building a building program, I told them, don't give me any more salaries increases. I said, I'm taking care of way beyond what my needs are. And I was just giving it back. Amen. I really was. Because, I mean, that's the way God blessed us.
Amen.
And so we did that. And I'm just saying, when that takes place, that's one of the areas that you can really grow as a church. And then you'll see if he puts that much energy, and puts the energy it does now in helping you and you helping him, and you're seeing what you're seeing right now with COVID and everything else.
Yes.
I think that speaks volumes.
Amen.
But can you only imagine what would happen if you take and said, preacher, we're going to take care of you.
Yeah.
Well, you won't have to even think about it.
Amen.
Then God's going to say, well, I'll take care of you.
Amen.
I've seen it happen over and over again.
Yes, sir.
But for the church to be strong, you've got to have strong leadership that's not overwhelmed by all the other things he's having to do at that time. Preacher, you didn't say to say this, and you might after we get through, so I wish you hadn't brought that up. But I was listening to the Lord. Is that okay? If it's not, you better settle at the judgment seat. God bless you. Will you stand, please? Heads bowed and your eyes closed. Some of you may want to get around the altar and just pray about what I've just said. Prayer answers things. You have not because you ask not. Don't even have to wait for the invitation. You can just slip out already. I see you doing it. Pray for this dear man. Thanking God that you have him. Labor's worthy is hire. Father, thank you for this dear church. And thank you for having this luxury of time to speak to them on this important subject. This day will be over. Many will be going back to their jobs. And I pray tonight that you'll give them miracle rest, as one preacher used to say. I pray, Father, they'll sleep well and rest well and wake up well. And Father, I pray that you'll be with this pastor as he leads this church and these dear people as they follow. There's two elements that's so necessary to a healthy church: fellowship and leadership. So, Father, help. Help him follow you as you lead him. Help them follow the preacher as he leads them. Father, we pray for this. Pray, Father, that what's been spoken will be considered and given attention to, Lord. And that, Father, that you will lead them and give them wisdom on how to accommodate this need. Father, we believe that you're able. We believe that every good and perfect gift comes from above. And you have not because you ask not. So Lord, help us.